Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Bills podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Misery, here with my co-host, Jason Shannon, for the special Friday edition of our Locked On Bills podcast. Here to talk about the Senior Bowl and a little bit of breaking news this morning that came out about Eric Wood and his neck injuries, his recurring neck injuries. Did not pass his final physical and was basically told he could never play football again. He was actually holding out hope for one final game here at the Pro Bowl. He was a Pro Bowl alternate. Was hoping that maybe he'd get the call, and I believe, you know, with the limited contact, he was willing to play in that game for one final hurrah. Didn't get that call, and probably then leaked somehow, with his neck injury, which just must have been crazy timing, Jason. So what are your initial thoughts about, you know, that kind of breaking news here to start off the day?
Yeah, it's disappointing. I'm glad that with the problem that he had, that they found it, that he's deciding to retire, whether that was, you know, forced or not. He's, you know, getting out of it, not paralyzed. So, you know, you have to do what's best for your health. He's made some good money for him and his family. And I just really wish him the best and hope that the long-term effects aren't very serious for this injury.
He's going to make some great money here to go out with. He's actually going to go out with, I believe, around $10.3 million is the rumored amount of cash and cap implication that the Bills will face. So he is going to, I would imagine the Bills don't do anything to fight that or whatever, you know, file a grievance. So he's going to go off with, you know, a thank you. So it's going to be, you know, a large sum of money that the Bills are going to be on the hook with, but I would imagine they're gladly gonna, you know, do that, right?
Yeah, I have to imagine that they're going to. I know that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're the cap guy, so I you know, he's owed what he's owed.
I guess I mean more. You don't see them fighting that or anything, right?
No, I think that's a pretty bad look, and I think that him is a, you know, is a captain and a leader of this team. I think that they want to do right for him, and it seems like, you know, the Pegulas and, you know, Bean and all the people that are involved, they seem to try to handle things in the right way.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's crazy because, you know, it's just so unfortunate for the player. And he doesn't sign it. You trust him at his word. He's a really good guy. 9 years here. He doesn't, you know, sign that extension knowing about this injury, in the beginning of the year. So it just cost the Bills $10.3 million when I think he was only going to cost $7 million. So it is unfortunate. But I'm glad that he was able to, you know, do what he does for the community. Really good guy. Many people have great things to say about him, and you know, it leaves a hole in this team. I mean, he's a starting center, a captain. I mean, you know, the Bills didn't know that they needed to fill this, and that, you know, kind of goes into our discussion today. But one person I wanted to touch on real briefly is Ryan Groy. You know, a player that played really well in his absence last year. So, do you think the Bills, you know, as the Senior Bowl here is, you know, tomorrow, do you think the Bills need to really look at interior linemen now, or do you think that Ryan Groy at $2.5 million is going to be a sufficient starting center?
I'd probably still be more worried about filling a guard spot if we're talking about interior line.
Sure.
Rather than that, Groy played, you know, he filled in after an injury to Wood in 2016 where he played the last seven games of the season and didn't give up a sack. Got re-signed by us for, you know, a decent backup lineman deal. And I think we would be wise to plug him in.
Sure. I agree. And I think that he played really well. A lot of people were actually calling for him to start at one of the guard spots. Now he's, you know, McDermott said, you know, he's basically center more or less. Juan Castillo is going to, you know, basically get his wish to death. That's where he's going to have to play him. He's on a starting, you know, Groy wanted to play. He's on a starting salary. $2.5 million is actually the bottom of starting center. So, you know, so now the Bills have a, you know, a backup contingency plan, which a lot of these positions they don't. So, you know, so there is a little bit of that they did build enough depth to have there. So let's start there in the Senior Bowl. And that's a really good place to start for us. Interior offensive line. Have you heard, seen, read anything about this interior offensive line at the Senior Bowl? Anything that, you know, now Bills fans are going to be like, now I need to watch this position group, especially with guard, now center. Anything jump out to you right there at those initial guard or center spot?
Yeah, less so the centers than the guards. Two guys that definitely jump out are Will Hernandez from UTEP. He's been really probably the best interior lineman, according to reports here. He's just a guy who gets his nose dirty and just, you know, pushes guys around, a real run-blocking guy. I saw him compared to somebody on Twitter and said he's a Richie Incognito type.
I did just read
to put that vision in your head as far as the type of player, and you can definitely see it. 6'2.5", 340. But you know, he's just a people mover. And then the other guy is a little more speculative. Wyatt Teller from Virginia Tech, 6'4", 311. He came in at. Came in with a pretty good reputation, and so far didn't show a ton at the Senior Bowl or at the practices. And I think people are going to really be looking at the game to see whether he stands out among the rest of the players in this group.
Where would you anticipate at this point them going in the draft if you were just to put a raw projection on their round?
Day two. I think Hernandez has definitely helped himself a lot to rise up near the top of the guards. But yeah, those are day two guys. I don't see anybody here at the Senior Bowl that will be a round one guy or that we would have to worry about taking at 21 or 22.
Okay. Let's get into a little bit about, so we have our draft series. Jason and I went yesterday to talk about defensive tackles. The week prior, we talked about cornerbacks. You know, check out Nate and Jason's as well on the team's breakdown on both of those positions. Let's start there as well, and then we'll get into the all-elusive quarterback here very shortly, if everyone's waiting to hear, but we're going to make you listen to our other projections and other guys first. Talking about defensive tackle, a couple of our talk yesterday, we got into it a little bit. What can you tell us as the week ended here and the match is about to start tomorrow? What can you tell us about this defensive tackle at the Senior Bowl?
I think a lot of people are saying that this is a pretty good group. I think more on the north side are the guys to watch. There's two guys from North Carolina State, Justin Jones and BJ Hill. They're both bigger guys between 310 and 320, and Justin Jones was definitely the guy to watch, probably even more out of the two. Had a really good week of practice. Another guy in the north was a guy that we mentioned yesterday, Harrison Phillips from Stanford. Your hardworking, sort of, Kyle Williams-y type, 6'3", 303, which came in, 10, 20 pounds heavier than maybe people would have thought. It was just extremely productive in his 2 years at Stanford. And, people are saying he's having a pretty good week. And then on the south side, we talked about Andrew Brown yesterday. The guy from Virginia was a five-star recruit, had a really slow start to his career, had a couple injuries early on. Ended up being a decently productive player with 9 sacks on his career. But everybody's saying he looks big, and he's just been having a really great week and showing some of that five-star potential that may be moving him up into the, sort of a day two status.
Okay, fair enough. Anything on that you like specifically about this group or anything, where do you see the Bills, after it's all said and done, any of these guys you think that could be good fits or any, where do you see them actually spending a pick? Like what round?
I think there's a lot of guys to look at, maybe with one of the second round picks.
Okay.
I think you could be seeing a Phillips or Justin Jones or even maybe Andrew Brown now being in that range. And I think this is a good group to look at because a lot of these guys are going to be one gap sort of players, which a lot of people are interested in. And, you make your money by collapsing the pocket and trying to get to the quarterback. And these are some guys who did a little bit of that in college. And, we're going to see during the game.
So let's stay right on the defensive side for the moment and stick with cornerback. We did do a series on it, part one, 2 weeks ago. Any of the cornerbacks that we've spoke about or in general jumped out to you at the Senior Bowl? Tell us a little bit about the corner group, what to watch for tomorrow.
Yeah, I really left these guys out when we previewed the cornerbacks in the first place, partially because a lot of the talent, the real talent, is in the juniors, in the early entrants, even Mike Hughes is a sophomore. But there's some good guys here who have been having good weeks. A lot of people are talking about Duke Dawson from Florida, 5'10", 195. He's a physical player, but the thing is that a lot of people have said, maybe he moves inside, maybe he's an outside guy. People even talked about him as safety. And he's had a pretty good week and apparently is showing the ability to stay with outside receivers, which was a concern of people. Obviously, I think he's a guy that combine time is going to be big for him too. Other than that, on the south side, MJ Stewart, apparently former North Carolina teammate with Mike Hughes before he got booted off the team, has been having a really good week. And then another guy that people are pretty impressed with is Levi Wallace from Alabama. Wallace,
yeah.
He is an interesting prospect because he's over 6 foot, but only weighs 176. People say that it shows that he's very skinny, but he's a guy that comes and plays and obviously played at a big program, played in huge games. You play in national title games every year. So people are, you know, have seen him play against big time talent, but this is just going to be another opportunity for him to show that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen MJ Stewart probably late second, early third. Same with Levi Wallace, are kind of in that range. So look out for those players with the Bills' second-round pick, potentially their third-round pick. It's late, way late. It is the Eagles who are still playing, so that's unfortunate. It could be as far down as pick 96 in the third round for the Bills. But some of these guys could definitely be cornerbacks that are still on the board, and those are a couple of good names to watch out for. Stick real quickly with the defensive side before we go to quarterback. Anything that jumps out at you at the linebacker, any either outside, inside linebacker spot?
Not really. This isn't a very great group. The one guy who is really interesting is Shaquem Griffin, the one-handed linebacker from Central Florida.
Not even a combine invite.
He didn't even get a combine invite. And, you know, it's not only the combine people, but scouts, you know, say who they want to see too. And apparently he wasn't one of them, but after watching him in practice, he's getting rave reviews. He's flying around. They've even pushed him back to safety just to see him play a little bit. You know, safety would probably be tough with one hand too, but you know, the word on him is he could be a really dynamic special teams player. So from, you know, the combine, non-invite, and just, you know, the physical limitations, he's also a smaller guy, 6 foot, 223. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's looking at day one or two at this point, but, you know, maybe in the fifth or sixth round, he would be a guy to get really excited about as far as sure. being a special teams guy and maybe a situational guy who could, you know, figure out some NFL football.
I see like the top of the fourth. I see like a guy that will, with his grind and grit, will get there. I do. I don't know. He just jumps out to me as a fourth round pick for some reason.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything this week that suggests, you know, moving him down at this point. I think he's only helped his cause. But unfortunately, you know, this and his pro day are really going to be his only opportunities to show that.
What position do you think he plays?
I mean, he's going to come in as a special teamer, but I think they'll try to play him at outside linebacker. I think you put on some NFL weight, and suddenly he's 235, and it's not really a big deal. I don't know how much a hand weighs either, but, you know. Take off a couple of rounds for that too.
Absolutely. So let's switch sides of the ball and go to the offensive side. Talk about, you know, I want to talk about running back briefly, and then we'll get into quarterbacks right after it. Anything jump out? There's some good rumblings out there about what's going on there at the running back position. Anything jump out to you?
Yeah, there's a few interesting guys to watch. There's been really, really mixed reviews on Akram Wadley from Iowa. Mm-hmm. A very small, shifty guy. People say that he just looks tiny. And even like I heard somebody describe that the way he cuts is weird. Like he's very agile, but he jumps into his cuts in a way that at his size might just get him killed in the NFL. Yeah. But other people see that agility and are, you know, really excited by it. And he was a productive player at Iowa. One of the more interesting guys is Kalen Ballage from Arizona State. He's got the size. He actually came in a little lighter than people thought at 222, which is perfect.
Good.
Great receiver out of the backfield. People were, you know, wowed by his hands and his ability to run routes. His big problem is that he just didn't touch the ball in college. He had a running back ahead of him run for 1,000 yards. He's really like a non-prospect. I'm still trying to figure out really what his deal is as far as Arizona State just not getting him the ball. But everybody, you know, seems to think the way that he profiles as an athlete and as a pass catcher and sort of a third down player, you know, being able to receive and block makes him a really interesting candidate. It makes him kind of a similar candidate to Alvin Kamara this year as far as a guy who just didn't touch the ball as much as people wanted him to and wanted to see him get those reps, but still comes in as a big athlete. I don't think he's the prospect that Kamara is, but I don't think he's that far off either.
No,
Kamara obviously also you know, massively overperformed for where he got drafted. But
great situation for Kamara too. So
yeah, he also there's also no better team for him to get drafted than the Saints.
Yeah, but his you can't deny his close to 80 catches here for him. So like coming out of Arizona State, I mean, he just seems like a kind of just was maybe better fit for the NFL, really. 469 yards receiving last year in 2016, I should say, by last year. So he's a guy that can receive really good right off the bat. You would love to look at him as a number two running back in the third round, right?
Yeah, he's definitely the type of running back that I want the Bills to have at this point behind McCoy. Just somebody that you can use in the pass game. And, you know, McCoy isn't on the field all the time, whether it's injuries or just...
He's not. He'll take himself out.
He'll take himself out. He gets the ball as much as anybody in the league. So, you know, we'll see how much we run the ball next year. I have a feeling it might be a little less than maybe the previous years. It also depends on a quarterback. But I think having a guy like that would be really important to us. And then just the final guy to mention on the South team is Rashad Penny. He ran for over 2,000 yards last year at San Diego State. The talent might not be there for anything higher than a day two pick, but he's a good downfield runner and every down sort of guy. So he'll be interesting to see, probably even going into the combine, where he's going to be able to show what his actual speed is and all athleticism, all that.
So Balaj, Wadley, and Penny, a couple guys to watch out for there in the third round, potentially fourth round for some of them. So really good second running backs the Bills could eye. Definitely keep an eye on them. I'm keeping my eyes peeled for a second running back right now and potential future starter. So there's a lot of good names that could come out of this draft as number two running back. So keep your eyes peeled. So lastly, I want to talk about quarterback. There's the last topic for today. Getting into it, what can you tell me about this quarterback group outside of the Bills' extensive meeting with Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, they had that. The reports are saying that Baker Mayfield looks like the best guy there. He looks like a leader. He's the guy, you know, riling people up, you know, being a teammate, sort of the life of the field there. And he's the one who's making all the throws too. Obviously his biggest knock on him is the fact that he's a hair over 6 foot, but you know, as an athlete and as a thrower, I think he's checked all of the boxes as far as that goes. And then obviously the other thing is, you know, the interviews are going to be huge because people talk about his character and whether he's a Manziel, which I think, you know, Manziel is Manziel. You know, you can't compare every person with a personality to him, or you know, who parties every once in a while to Johnny Manziel. That was just kind of a real misfortunate situation. You know, Baker Mayfield's his own guy, and you know, I really like everything I've seen from him and heard about him. And then the other guy, obviously, that's getting first round buzz is Josh Allen, maybe even first overall buzz, and I think he's really. He didn't have a very good week. Apparently his last day was pretty decent, but Josh Allen really is the guy that you're going to see what you already saw or what you wanted to see. You know, if you think he's inaccurate, you know, his 56% completion percentage in college, you know, playing in the Mountain West, you're going to see that because he missed throws all week. But at the same time, if you're, you know, a team that's saying, he's got this huge gun for an arm and we're going to be able to mold this guy. You saw that too, because he made some amazing, you know, touchdown passes during the week that were on the highlights. And, you know, if you see a 6'5" guy with a gun and that's the reason that you like him, you're probably still going to like him. And, you know, people were even saying, I think in his first practice, you know, 5 or 6 receivers, you know, were dropping passes. And it was basically because they just weren't used to a guy throwing the ball that hard. And, you know, he adjusted during the week. Sometimes it's tough. You know, these aren't their receivers. Josh Allen's never played with these guys before. He's probably played with guys less, you know, less talented than these receivers. But at the same time, you know, he has a rapport with them. And that's huge for a quarterback. So it was good to see him get better by the third day of practice. But, you know, he is what he is, and I think somebody's going to fall in love with, you know, his potential.
Definitely. You know, he's definitely a key guy to keep your eye on. And anyone else jump out to you anywhere? Anything else you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I'll run them down real quick because there's only 8 of them. Sure. Luke Falk had big production in college and even had some hype as a high pick.
Yeah, he did.
Earlier in the year. He just hasn't made NFL throws. He's a big check down guy. It'll be interesting to see if he tries, you know, to make any NFL throws during this game. It'll be interesting to see him against some pretty decent defensive backs. Tanner Lee has a big arm. He's also on the North team from Nebraska. Big arm, big guy, 6'4", but people just seem to think that his decision-making and his inaccuracy are going to be a big problem at the next level. Going to the South, it's, you know, the difference between the North and the South is basically NFL quarterbacks and versus guys who might not make a team. Kurt Benkert from Virginia and Kyle Loletta from Richmond both lack some of that arm strength and are probably going to be looked at as mid-round later guys. I think their performances will probably say a lot about where they go. And so the process is going to be really big for them. The same thing goes for Mike White from Western Kentucky, sort of a later round prospect. I've heard some good things about Brandon Silvers, maybe not his accuracy, but people were wondering why he was basically at this game from Troy playing in the Sun Belt. And people have said that his arm strength checks out. So if he gets the rest of the stuff together, you know, people say that he has an NFL arm. So he'll be interesting to see sort of where he goes from here. Because, you know, there's a minimum NFL arm you need for the most part as a successful quarterback or for, you know, being a guy that people or that teams find worth developing. And apparently he has that. So him and Tanner Lee, both pretty similar in that.
Who's your favorite South quarterback and one that, you know, who would you say is the one to watch tomorrow?
I think Kyle Loletta is decent from what I've seen. I would say the two guys to watch would be Loletta and then Brandon Silvers, I had mentioned before.
And lastly, what's the, you know, I wanted to touch on this on the show. Do you know the deal with Mason Rudolph? Why did he, what happened with there?
I don't know. I had heard, you know, maybe an injury, but it's all about self-preservation at this point. You know,
to stay in the top 10 the most as he can.
Right. And sometimes not being seen is better than being seen you know. But, you know, at the same time, all week there have been rumors that Baker Mayfield wasn't going to actually play in the game. He was just going to practice. So all of these guys are looking at this as a business decision.
And you have to.
You see it a lot in, like, the NBA combine and their workouts. If they go and have a good morning, they'll just sit out the afternoon. You know, I showed what I had to show, you know, or a guy only running the 40 once or – you know, I showed the good version of me. Now, you know, try to guess about the rest of it.
I think Baker's done enough and we'll see. I think he's done enough to get himself in the first round. He was looked at as like a high second and like that Colin Kaepernick, Andy Dalton range, Derek Carr. But I think he's done enough to jump himself into the 20s, in my opinion, really, really top consideration there for the Bills. And I think that's why they're doing their due diligence. You know, really worrying about maybe getting up past the 20s. So that's something to worry about.
Quarterback's going to be crazy this year.
It is.
You know, I had kind of dismissed it a little bit because every year is supposed to be the best quarterback class ever. But the way that there's quarterback needy teams right now at the top of this draft and, you know, teams like the Bills who have ammunition and then, you know, maybe five or six guys that might be worthy spot.
You're getting six guys go in the first round, in my opinion, but we'll see.
I think we could have four or five guys go in the top six or seven.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's really possible. And then the Bills might – six of them could be gone, and Rudolph, Jackson, Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Josh Allen, they could all be gone by 21. It's possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible. So the Bills, I think, are going to sit back with their two or three favorites, maybe out of the seven, six or seven, and just see what happens, right? Is that what you're imagining their plan is? Because you don't want to go up and trade the farm and then realize that, hey, all of a sudden all these guys are going to go in the 20s, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to do more, you know, research and intel on what other teams are going to do too. I think that the quarterbacks are going to go high, at least two or three of them. It's going to come down to who are the people that drop, who are seen less favorably or more favorably. I think Baker Mayfield helped himself a lot this week.
He did. I think he put himself up there in the top 30. I mean, Luke Falk, those kind of guys, and you never know if there's one of those that all of a sudden come out of nowhere like Jimmy Garoppolo to go in the top 40. So you don't really know who this hidden seventh guy is, right? Do we know? Do we have any idea who that could be after, you know, Mayfield and Josh Allen?
No, and I don't think any of, you know, the South roster for the quarterbacks really could have had one of those guys if there was going to be one, you know, bringing in guys from Troy and Richmond and Western Kentucky.
I think they tried to do like a Jimmy Garoppolo thing.
Yeah, I, you know, they're trying to give those guys an opportunity, and I always thought it was weird considering that JT Barrett, who I think probably would have been a better quarterback this week than anybody on the South roster, played in the East-West Shrine game last week. So, yeah, I think they're trying to give these guys a chance who haven't had the profile.
Or even Riley Ferguson or my guy Logan Woodside from Toledo. There's a couple that could have.
Right.
They didn't get the shot here tomorrow.
No, I think they definitely tried to bring in the guys who were more of a prototypically pro sort of styled quarterback. But I don't think that any of these guys so far, obviously the game still has to be played, have shown that they're going to be a Garoppolo type and have that sort of rise. Enough.
I think tomorrow you can see someone help themselves. I don't necessarily think you can hurt yourself or boost much unless you just have a really showing time. So I think there's a chance for someone to at least get themselves as, hey, maybe we should look into more of this guy rather than, hey, this guy's going to go 35th overall. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Really action-packed show here on Locked On Bills. Really great Senior Bowl edition. We're going to come back at you next week, talk about the game, talk about a little bit more in depth, what we liked from the game, anything we saw. You know, we'll include that in our Tuesday edition show. You know, maybe get into the receivers, tackle a little bit, some of the groups we didn't get to touch on. So from Locked On Bills, I'm Kevin Misery. That's Jason Shannon. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Washed his hands.